Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He heals the brokenhearted. He determines the number of the stars. Great is our Lord and abundant in power.
His understanding is beyond measure.
The Lord lifts up the humble.
He casts the wicked to the ground.
Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving.
Bring melody to our harp and lyre.
He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He gives to the beasts their food.
And to the young ravens their fire.
His delight is not in the strength of the horse,
nor his pleasure in the legs of man.
But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him.
In those who hope in his
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from Isaiah chapter 40. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John Chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, A little while, and you will see me no longer, and again a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father? So they were saying, What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew what they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who does the world think they are? We are the children of God. The Father loved us so much that he sent his Son for us. And they both loved us enough that they adopted us into their family. One day, when Jesus comes back, we are going to be resurrected and we are going to be like him. One day, we will be able to see Jesus face to face. How dare the world not know who we are? That's the part of the question that's going on with our text from 1 John here today. It's part of the way that John is answering the question of, well, don't they know who we are? Why don't they recognize us? Why don't they give us the glory that they should be giving us? And the answer is that, well, no, they don't know us. They don't recognize us, and they certainly aren't going to give us any glory. Which, of course, is a separate question between whether we deserve any of that glory or not. But we also recognize that we shouldn't really be surprised about this. We shouldn't be all that amazed when people don't roll out the red carpet for us when we show up at their house because they didn't know Jesus either. They didn't treat Jesus with the glory that he for sure did deserve. And so if they didn't treat Jesus any different than they did really any other rabbi who was walking around, well, then why should they treat us any different? But again, notice the truth that we see as Jesus lives his life out, that Jesus wasn't outraged by this. He didn't get all worked up because people didn't recognize him as the Son of God. He didn't go around asking people, "Don't you know who I am?" He didn't try to force people to bow down to his glory and his power and his reputation. And he truly had every right to do that. This was the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, God himself, who had come down and taken upon flesh for us, for the entire world. And he did it knowing that he was going to have to die. If there was anybody in the entire world who the entire world should have bowed down to when he showed up, it was him. But they didn't. And Jesus didn't hold that against them. In fact, he wasn't even really looking for it. And we need to be careful about not falling into that trap. Our world right now is full of this just rage and angst, it almost seems like. People are just seeming to look for things to get angry about, things to get worked up about. And this is different than, you know, being passionate about something. This is really, it just seems like they're trying to be angry. And it's easy for us to fall into that trap of trying to be angry, of looking for the next thing for us to be outraged about. But that's not how Christ lived his life. Christ lived a life that was full of love, compassion, mercy, and truth. And that is the same way that we ought to seek to live our lives. Because, after all of those things that I listed off at the beginning are in fact true. We are the children of God. And part of what that means is that we should try to act like the Son of God in every way that we can. Truly, see what kind of love the Father has given to us. That we should be called children of God. That is part of what baptism does for us. That's why that opening hymn was so fitting for today. Because in our baptisms, with the water and the word, our Lord put upon himself our name. We have been sealed on the forehead and on the heart as members of his family. We are called his children, and by faith we trust that truth, even though we do not always act like the children of God. But recognize the even deeper, wondrous truth of what our Lord tells us here in our text, because not only are we called the children of God, but we are the children of God. We aren't just called his children. We are truly his children. When he adopts us into his family, it isn't just some sort of formal thing that he does. It isn't some sort of legal mumbo jumbo that he can use to get us through a loophole or something like that. No, he has adopted us into his family to the point that he treats us and in fact acts like we are his children because we are his children. That's how adoption works. We are in every way his children, aside from the fact that we were not naturally born to him. That is the true miracle of baptism. That is the true miracle of faith. And that is why living in this world is so difficult for us. Because we know the truth. We know that everything is supposed to be way better than it actually is. It seems like everywhere we turn, things are disappointing because they aren't living up to the standards that we know they could be, even in this sinful world. Things never turn out quite right. There's always a problem. There's always an obstacle. Something always gets in the way. And we know it's not supposed to be that way. And that makes it hard. It makes it difficult. It makes this life one that is full of suffering for us. And again, we shouldn't really be surprised about this. Jesus told us that's how it's going to be. You heard him do that in our gospel reading. But that doesn't necessarily make it any easier. However, what makes it doable, at the very least, is that we also know that things will get better. Eventually. Perhaps not in this world, but in the world to come, things will finally be the way that they're supposed to be. When our brother returns, when our Lord returns, when Jesus, who died for us, returns, things will finally be right. But that time is in the future. But even now, we are still God's children. And what that means is that what we will be has not yet appeared. Or in other words, that when we are raised from the dead, when Jesus comes back and we are all resurrected on that last day, after we've all gone through the judgment, after we've all been declared righteous because of what Jesus has done for us, and we get ready to enter into the new creation, we are not exactly sure what that's going to look like. We are not even exactly sure what we are going to look like. But we do have some idea. And in fact, our text for today is one of the places where we get some of these ideas. We know that when he appears, that we shall be like him. And recognize what this is saying. This is saying that when Jesus comes back, that we are going to be, at least in some way, like he is right now. And we have stories about that. We have stories about what the resurrected Jesus is like. For instance, we know that he has a body. That his body appears to be able to actually reach out and touch things. That he's able to eat and drink and have a meal and have a conversation with other people. It seems fair to say that he probably at least more or less looked similar to what he looked like before. The disciples and everybody who sees him, after they get over the shock of seeing a dead person walking around, recognize him. Now, whether that means that we're going to be able to do the whole, you know, walking into rooms that don't have doors unlocked and things like that, that part maybe we're not sure about. But at the same time, we're not sure. But perhaps most importantly of all, one of the things that we see here in our text is that when we are raised from the dead, we shall see him as he is. This is particularly important for us, I think, as compared to those during Jesus' time, to the disciples. Because we haven't seen our Lord. And yet we trust in him. But the day will come when we do see him. And when we see him, it's going to be more than just, oh, we see his physical appearance. We are going to see him, and we are going to recognize the full truth of just how good our God is. We are going to be able to see him as our brother, and we are going to see just how much he cares for us. That is in many ways the true hope of a Christian. Our text concludes with everyone who hopes in himself purifies himself as he is pure. Ultimately, the faith of a Christian, the thing that we hope in, is the hope of the resurrection. If our faith is trusting in what Jesus has done on the cross, our hope is trusting in the promise of what that cross means for us. And by hoping in him, by believing in him, we are purified by him. We are made holy, we are sanctified by him through our faith. So then, even here, even now, in this world which does not live up to our expectations, which cannot be as good of a world as it's supposed to be, you are free to be his children even now. to strive to live as he lived in this world that doesn't know us. That even though we are the children of God, that not only should we not expect us to be glorified by the world, but that we shouldn't even look for it. But that instead, as we live our lives in this world, as we know and believe in what our brother has done for us, we strive to glorify him. Which simply means that we strive to tell the story of him, of what he has done for us and for the entire world. We strive to live our lives in this world of sin and darkness and suffering, hoping and trusting in the promises that he has made to us. Because that is our hope. That is our trust. That one day we won't have to deal with all of the sin and darkness and death in this world. That one day he will come for us. He will raise us. That we shall be like him and that we shall see him. And that we shall live with him in that state forever into eternity. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.